It was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was rudely awakened to the sound of my alarm. I'm not always a morning person, but this was our summit day. Myself, along with two other friends, were about to embark on climbing Mount Adams. Standing at 12,000 feet, that's the second highest point in the state of Washington. We fastened our helmets on our heads, we put on our headlamps, and through the darkness of the night, we made our way up that long climb of the mountain. And by late morning, we made those last few aching steps as we reached the summit. And I remember that feeling like I was on top of the world, looking out across the whole scenery of the Northwest. But amidst that accomplishment, we still had our journey home. We grabbed our ice axes and we swiftly glissaded down the mountain. You can imagine that as a sledding ride of epic proportions. But soon enough though, the snow slopes were no longer steep enough. We could no longer slide down, and we then began the slow trudge, step by step, down the rest of the mountain. And the sun now reached its full height in the sky, and the heat was beating down on us. So I removed my gloves, removed my jacket, took off my helmet to get some fresh air. But as we experienced the fatigue of descending, we eventually realized we had lost our path. We had veered off course, not even realizing it. And soon our path came to a point where it suddenly dropped off, and we couldn't even see what was beneath because of the low-lying clouds on the mountain. So I thought, I'll scout it out. I'll see what's below. So I grabbed my axe, and I started lowering myself down. And about halfway, I could see there was a rock field beneath us. So I called up to my friends. I told them what I could see and that it looked like the mountain leveled out. But that's when it happened. My boots slipped, and immediately I started sliding. So with my axe in my hand, I tried to throw it back into the ice. But then my shoulder dislocated. I then lost my grip and immediately began falling. With my one good hand left, I tried to reel in my axe with my leash, and I threw it back into the ice. But it was too late. I was going too fast. I didn't have enough time. The rock field was already upon me. And then my body hit it, ripping the axe out of my hand. My body was catapulted into the air on impact, hit after hit. I finally came to a stop. And in that next moment, I found myself sitting in a slow trickle of water in the middle of this rock field. My body was finally motionless. And as I was in this shock, and as the horror of what just happened was really sinking in, I then looked out below me, and while there was still a thick blanket of clouds, there was a small break, a little opening, appeared. And through that opening, I could see my tent, my yellow tent sitting perched on the mountainside. And I saw that as my glimmer of hope. I saw that as God saying, I am still here. I am still with you. Though my body was sorely bruised, my friends and I safely made it down the rest of the mountain. And the events of this day, they took place 6 years ago, but they're still vivid on my mind. Now, if I were to consider some of the risks we face in mountaineering, what are they? One of the risks, as we realized that day, was risk of losing course. You'd lose your way. There's also a risk that you might not be properly prepared. You might not have the gear to protect yourself. There's also a risk that after the immense physical investment you put into climbing a mountain, your physical strength would be so weakened that it also starts to dull your mental sharpness. And lastly, all these things can culminate in us being weakened to the point where we could make a mistake and fall. as I did, on the mountain. So what if we were to take these same risks for mountaineering and apply them to our spiritual life? Well, we also have a risk of losing our course and losing our way in our spiritual walk. We also can become vulnerable if we do not have the proper protection. We also can risk spiritual fatigue. And that fatigue can cause us to lose our zeal. And if all of those things culminate together, we could end up falling away. So how do we defend against these risks? The first defense is staying on course. And what is that course? If we turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, we read here the words that God spoke to Joshua as he took over command of the army of Israel. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, God says, "Only be strong and very courageous to guard, to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, right or left, so that you act wisely wherever you go." Our course, our calling, is to do according to the law. We are not to turn to the right or to the left. We are not to add to it. We are not to take away from it. That law is our foundation that gives us wisdom throughout the course of our life. But in addition to this, we also need to protect ourselves against We need to protect ourselves against the vulnerabilities that we can sometimes have. And for that, I would like to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. Here the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." It's easy for us to wear a helmet if we know we're going to fall. It's even easy to be on the alert momentarily. But what's hard is to be on the alert continually, to protect ourselves continually. And here Paul says we must be on the alert with all perseverance. Life can be unexpected. It will throw things at us. We'll be surprised, yet we need to protect ourselves with that helmet, with that hope of salvation. And finally, we risk becoming fatigued, spiritually fatigued, and losing our zeal. As I faced that day on the mountain, so we also can face that fatigue in our spiritual lives. Our physical strength isn't always enough. Sometimes we need another source to boost our strength. And for that, I'll turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. Here the prophet Isaiah speaks. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the eternal, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Eternal shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When we lack strength, we need to seek our strength from the eternal. On my own, I was that young man who fell as he became weary. But as my body was stricken, God extended his hand. He parted the clouds and gave me that glimmer of hope when I needed it. We have all lost our way at times. We've become vulnerable. We've let spiritual fatigue set in. We've let complacency set in. But God desires to protect us from this world, and to bring us back on course. Through the highs and the lows of life and our journey, we must constantly rely on God as our source of strength. And when we need him most, when we have fallen, he will be there to lift us up, on eagle's wings, and to bring us home.